happened. Something happened. So all I know is last Saturday night, I was upstairs trying to write a paragraph, and by the time I was done, I was just too sick to do anything. So let there be a lesson to you. Writing can be hazardous to your health. Glad that you guys are here. It's good to be back, and thank you, Wendy, and all you guys who came in and had a great time last Sunday. Really quickly, after the service today, there's going to be an interest meeting for those who are interested in serving at Royal Family Kids Camp this summer. And so we have a camp here for abused and neglected foster children, and it's just very powerful. It's just a great week where we go away with a group of 6 to 11-year-olds and just treat them like royalty for a week, and they get to encounter the love of God in really practical, meaningful ways. And so it's the one thing we do all year that we just, it's our missionary effort. It's awesome. Anyway, so it's great. So that'll be immediately following the service, and lunch will be provided. So if you are interested in serving at Royal Family Kids Camp this year, do it. And then the other thing is, starting January 24th on Thursday night at 5:30, we will begin our Young Leadership Tribe. And so if you have young people in your life between the ages of 5th grade and 12th grade, we would just love to help train them to be leaders in their schools, leaders in their church, leaders in their peer groups. And so it's going to be a great time. We'll have some worship together. We'll share a meal together. And we will emphasize that, just teaching them to be leaders. Don't we want our next generation to be leaders? Do you want your kids to be followers or leaders? Yeah, that's what I thought. Okay, I thought I heard a follower out there. We'll talk afterwards. Just kidding. I didn't hear that. But it's going to be just a great time, and so that will begin Thursday night, January 24th. So, hey, really quickly, in case we haven't met, I'm Lee, lead pastor here at Mercy Vineyard. And let's put our mission statement up and say it together. We are living a passionate mission to love, grow, and go for the greater glory of God. And so we're so excited about that, that God has put us on this corner, not to just to be a gathering place for believers, but we are a church on mission. And we're just excited about the coming days ahead and the coming years ahead of what God has for us. Pray for me. Tomorrow I have a phone meeting with the owner of this building, and so I'm going to make an official offer. And we're going to see. I'm sure that there might be a little haggling. I don't know. I don't know what's going to happen. I've never sat and talked to somebody and offered to buy a building from them before. But we believe that God has called us to do this, to become owners in the neighborhood, not just renters. And we mean that not just in a physical sense of owning a building, but we mean that in a spiritual sense. We want to take ownership of the spiritual condition of Old Town Moline. And I believe that something happens when you switch from renter mentality to owner mentality. And so we're excited about doing that. And we're currently raising the money for the down payment. We're raising about $20,000. We have had about $7,000 in pledges come in. And so we've got a little ways to go. So I would encourage you, if you've been kind of sitting on the sidelines or expecting somebody else to do it, we're not that big. You know, it's like, somebody else will do it. No, it's you or nobody else does it. And so I just really want to encourage you to just go in. You know, if a gift of faith for you is $10, then give a gift of faith. That's all we're asking, is that you give a gift of faith towards the building. And we're just very excited about what we'll be able to do once we own the building. And then our next step is we want to buy another building right across the street. Yeah. And so Wendy and I actually walked through that building on Wednesday. And we're just blown away, not necessarily by the building itself, because it's an old, decrepit building, but blown away by how God can totally use that, and us being over there as well. And so just so, so, so excited. And so we'll be meeting with her after, you know, I have the conversation with the owner of the building here. So hey, maybe one day we'll just own the whole neighborhood. That'd be cool. Just own it all. I have a vision here for 18th Street. I mean, sorry, 18th Avenue. And I really believe that we could claim 18th Avenue for the kingdom of God. And, you know, so, but it takes starting here, owning this one, owning that one, and we want to revitalize commerce here. We want to reach the lost here. We want to meet needs here. And the kingdom of God it starts there. So I love and appreciate like global visions. I really do. But the way my brain works is like, that's overwhelming. You know, like churches with flags of the nations up around the, and I'm like, okay, that's awesome. I love that. And I love going to other countries and, you know, Haiti and Ireland and those things like that. But like, you know, it's hard for me to wrap my brain around that, and much easier to go 18th Avenue, 3-block area for Jesus, right? Isn't that, that's just, okay. So we want to see transformation. So I just really want to encourage you, get in on that. Don't miss out on that blessing. Contribute, be a part, okay? And so today what we're doing is we are starting off a brand new 4-part series called Transformation U, where we're talking about bringing positive change to our minds, to our bodies, to our spirits, to our lives. That, you know, God is in the transformation business. Jesus said, "Behold, I'm making all things new." And we've talked about newness as a church before and bringing newness to our neighborhood and newness to our city. But God wants to start with you and with me, just bringing newness and bringing transformation. And this time of year, you know, a lot of people kind of talk about maybe losing a little weight, right? Did anybody gain any holiday weight? You don't have to raise it super high, but yeah. I'll tell you what'll fix that: stomach flu. So you'll be just good as new. So, maybe kind of setting some intellectual goals. I've seen on Facebook quite a few of my friends going, "Hey, it's my goal this year to read, you know, 30 books or read, you know, whatever." Wendy read how many books last year? 38? It's just sickening. So I squeezed in a dozen. I squeezed in a dozen in 2018. But people kind of make some intellectual goals, maybe some financial goals. And too often, though, when we're imagining ourselves like 20 pounds lighter or out of debt, right? We kind of imagine ourselves those way, or more disciplined in our prayer life. We forget something really, really important when we make those goals. So we tend to think that when we make goals, that area that we're making that goal in is isolated. And it's not, right? Physical fitness is not just about your body, okay? Yeah, we kind of understand that when we create a fitness goal or a body goal, it's not just about your body. Spiritual disciplines are not just about your soul. And intellectual goals, you know, that growth, that's not just about your mind. And financial success is not just about your wallet. If you think that financial success is just about your wallet, you will fail at your financial goals over and over and over again. And so the thing is that God has made us really complex human beings. You know, He made us very complex. We're not just that simple. And if you have an emotional attachment to food, then you know what? White knuckling through a diet is not going to help. It's just going to lead to frustration, right? Because if you have that emotional attachment, if you have this attachment to food, if you find comfort in food and things like that, then hey, just white knuckling through a diet, you might make it through the diet and lose the weight and then immediately bounce back, right? If your heart isn't humbly submitted to God, then all the Bible reading in the world won't make you a more mature Christian, right? And we've all kind of met the guy who knows the Bible back and forth, but is a total butt nugget, right? Y'all know what I'm talking about, you know? Like, they know the Bible, but man, are they jerks. And you don't want to be around them, and you feel uncomfortable talking about the Bible around them because they make you feel small and foolish and whatever. And, you know, that's not a heart humbly submitted to God. That's growing arrogant and prideful from, you know, from your knowledge. And one part of us affects the other part. So it's so important that we surrender every part of our will, every part of our ways to God. You know, God wants all of us. And, of course, He's very gracious and patient with us. But when we submit all of our ways to God, it helps to bring all of the areas of our lives then under His submission, and then we start to see some growth, and we start to see some change, okay? Because it's a holistic thing. And so as we, humbly submit our lives to Him, it's awesome. So one part affects the other part, and so we got to support, surrender every part. And so as we start the series off, what I want to do this morning is I want to start by talking about the mind, our minds. And they're just so important. Our minds are a beautiful example of God's creative power. There's not a man-made computer in the world that matches the power of the mind. They've got a multi-billion-dollar computer in Switzerland, right, called CERN, and it's like this thing that is trying to create dark matter, whatever that is. Not as powerful as the mind. You know, yes, it does. It goes in circles. It's like, And, I mean, the greatest computer in the world cannot match the power of the mind because God created our minds, and they are wonderfully complex. They are incredible. And so, in fact, our thoughts are so powerful that Proverbs 23 basically says that we become what we think, right? What you think, you become. And that's why it's so important that we transform our minds, right? That we let God control our minds. Because what we think, we become. As a man thinks, so is he. And so it's very important. Our minds, our thoughts, they affect our relationships. You know, girls, have you ever dated a guy whose thoughts were always sort of in the insecure vein? Mm-hmm. Yeah. And you know how, like, frustrating that is? And that insecurity of, you don't really like me, you don't really love me, you don't really, ends up becoming like a self-fulfilling prophecy. It's like, well, I used to really love him, but all of this insecurity has drained every last bit of energy out of me, and now I can't stand him, right? Because that person's thoughts, that person's mind, all right, affected that relationship. Our thoughts, they affect our health. Believe it or not, they do. In fact, I'm going to show you a clip in just a second here from a documentary that will blow you away. Our minds, our thoughts affect our health. Our thoughts affect our finances. You know, I mean, one of the reasons why some people who struggle with finances continue to struggle with finances is because when they get a little bit, they think, I may not get any more, right? Thoughts up here, I may not get any more. And so what they do with that money is they spend it on something they shouldn't spend it on because they think, well, I may not get any more money, so I'm going to spend it on something. That's why if you go into much poorer neighborhoods, you guys know Troy Heithecker. He used to go down into the west end of Rock Island and work with families, and they all had huge screen TVs. Now, they had no money at all, but they had huge screen TVs. And they all had the latest iPhone, and ladies carried Coach purses. It's because that thinking, when they got a little bit of money, well, I may not ever get any more money, so I'm going to take this, and I'm going to splurge with it, right? And you all know that if you got a little bit of money, and you're struggling financially, the last thing you need to do is splurge on a Coach purse. You need to take that money and put it away, because when the car breaks down, you don't want to whip out your credit card. You want to be able to pay for that, all right? So lots of, you know, our thoughts affect our money in such a deep way. And so they affect all those things. And so even our spirituality is affected by our thoughts. If we can never accept or believe the fact that there is a God that is incredibly lavishly, just like madly, irrationally in love with you, you know, then you'll never love yourself, right? Which God wants you to love yourself. And I don't mean love yourself as in you're arrogant about yourself, right? Not lovers of self type of love. But God loves me, and so I love me, and I must be worth taking care of, okay? And so so our thoughts affect our spirituality. So I want to show you guys this clip. It's from a documentary I saw recently about how our thoughts affect our health.
Biology's been telling us for 100 years about the power of the mind. It's called the placebo effect.
It's fascinating that you can give someone a sugar pill, a saline injection, or perform some false surgery or treatment. And a certain percentage of those people will accept, believe, and surrender to the thought without any analysis that they're getting the real substance or treatment. And they begin to program their autonomic nervous system to make the exact pharmacy of chemicals equal to the substance or treatment they think they're getting. So the fundamental question Is it the inert substance, the placebo, that's doing the healing, or is it the body's innate capacity to heal by thought alone? Blue pills work better than red pills. If you name a drug something that a person can't pronounce, they'll give their power away to the drug and it'll work even better. They'll be intimidated by it. If you charge more for a medication, it will work better. And if the doctor's enthusiastic about it, it'll work even better.
There's some amazing studies that have come out about the power of belief, and they've come out from the oddest place, and that is from pharmaceutical companies using placebos and trying to beat the placebo for whatever drug they have. And what they're finding is not how powerful their drug is, but how powerful beliefs are. For example, there have been studies where they're testing the effectiveness of an antidepressant. Now, the antidepressant is supposed to raise dopamine levels. So they have one group where they give them the antidepressant, and another group where it's a placebo. It means that they're just giving them a sugar pill. Not only do those people no longer depressed, their dopamine levels raise. In other words, they actually thought that just from the power of belief, they thought a specific neurotransmitter would get elevated, and they were able to elevate a specific neurotransmitter simply by the power of their belief. There was another study with chemotherapy. They were trying to test the effectiveness of chemotherapy, and they had one group had the chemotherapy, another group thought they were getting chemotherapy but weren't. The group that thought they were getting chemotherapy, 30% of them lost their hair. They lost their hair because they thought they were getting chemotherapy. With the power of our beliefs, we have the power to lose hair simply because we think that we're supposed to. We have the power to raise dopamine levels, to heal surgery. All of these different things we can do with the power of our mind.
So the belief I'm going to get cured led to the cure. Now, people understand that, and they go, yes, I understand placebo effect. That's positive thinking. I go, well, that's actually what it is, positive result. What I need people to understand more importantly is this. We don't talk about what is the concept of negative thinking. I go, oh, negative thinking is equally powerful in controlling your biology as positive thinking, but it works in the opposite direction. While a positive thinking placebo effect can cure you of disease, a negative belief called the nocebo effect can cause disease. So the fact is, we are very powerful. It's only our belief that is undermining our biology.
Is that just awesome? Wow. I mean, like, the way that God has created us is just astounding. And we kind of learn about, okay, well, God, how did you make me? How did you make our bodies? How did you create our minds? It's just so powerful. And it's just like God gave us minds that are capable of making us sick or making us well. And it just depends on what you believe. And it must be why 2 Corinthians 10:5 tells us to take our thoughts captive and to make them obedient to Christ, right? We've got to take our thoughts captive and tell our minds what to think instead of letting our minds tell us what to think. And so we've got to take our thoughts captive, because if we don't let God renew our minds, then there can be some real dire consequences, right? I mean, yes or no? Yeah, they can have a really bad impact on our lives if we don't take our thoughts captive. And we don't make this a regular exercise. So everything that I'm saying this morning, when I'm saying we've got to take our thoughts captive, we've got to renew our minds, this is not something that just happens in a church service. Okay, for the rest of our lives, our minds are renewed, right? It doesn't happen that way. You know, it is an ongoing process. It's something that we work at daily. And so how do we do this? How do we steer our minds so that we can experience transformation in every area of our lives? How do we bring positive change to our thoughts? So we're going to talk about that. But really quick, hey, before we read from Romans, let's just pray real quick. God, we love you so much, and we thank you that we are fearfully and wonderfully made. Lord, help us to steward and to take care of what you have created us, to take care of our minds, to take care of our bodies. Lord, to allow you to transform us, to allow you to change us. God, we need you. We need you. So speak to us today. Let your word come alive in us today in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, so let us go ahead, and we are going to start off by taking a look at Romans chapter 12. And in verses 1 and 2, the Apostle Paul says this. It says, "And so, dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to give your bodies to God because of all he has done for you. Let them be a living and holy sacrifice, the kind he will find acceptable. This is truly the way to worship him." Oh, that's good. You should talk about that next week. Wendy's talking about transforming the body next week. It says, "Don't copy the behaviors and customs of this world, but let God transform you." Everybody say transform. Transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Yeah, make sure you, man, changing the way you think. We have to change the way we think. "Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect," right? So what's God's will for you? Is God's will for you okay? Right? Is God's will for you kind of just eking by? Is God's will for you sort of like mediocre, mundane? No, it says right here, his will for you is good and pleasing and perfect. But we don't know that will, we don't learn that will and walk in that will until we change the way we think. Okay? So I'm just breaking down what Romans says here. And so if you remember one thing this morning, remember this. Transformation comes when we change the way we think. So if you want to walk in transformation, if you want transformation in any area of your life, if you want financial transformation, change the way you think. If you want physical transformation, change the way you think. If you want transformation in your relationships, change the way you think. Okay? So we've got to be people who think the way that God wants us to think, because until we do, we're not going to experience transformation. What we're going to experience is kind of frustration. Right? Anybody ever walk in like frustration area? Oh my goodness, I'm trying to lose 30 pounds for the last 5 years. Dear God. Every new year. You know? Or this relationship is just, it's been this way. We've been going around in circles for the last 5 years. I don't even know if we're going to make it. Right? Oh, my finances. Oh, my goodness. I just keep getting more and more into debt. Oh, you know, it's just like we've got to change the way we think, or we're not going to find transformation in any other area. So too often what we're doing is trying to change something about ourselves. And what we do when we try to change something about ourselves, what do? We focus on our behavior, right? And then we do. We want to lose 30 pounds. We focus on our behavior. We try to quit smoking. We try to eat less so we can lose weight. We try to manage our money better, right? Don't we do that? We focus on the behavior, and we kind of go back to that whole white-knuckling it thing. Just going to have discipline. Just going to have discipline. I'm not going to spend any money anymore. Somebody take my credit cards, right? White-knuckle. We try to change our behavior. I'm going to quit smoking. Oh, dear God, it's hard. Oh, man. Before we know it, we're walking along the street picking up cigarette butts out of the... Oh, just kidding. We're not that desperate. So, I hope not. I hope there's nobody here that's picking up cigarette butts out of the gutter. But God wants to change so much more than your behavior. God wants to change more than your behavior. He wants to change your identity. Okay? And let me just say that again. God wants to change more than your behavior. He wants to change your identity. Right? Even if you've been a Christian for 30 years, he still wants to change your identity. If you've been a Christian for 30 years, he especially wants to change your identity. Right? We get set in our ways. You know, he still wants to change your identity. And so what you say after the words, "I am," are far more powerful than you can ever imagine. Far more powerful than ever. I mean, seriously. And we say these things all the time. Right? You ever known somebody who's just like, you know, the relationships are kind of eh, and they're kind of jerks, and they're like, "I can't, you know, I'm just an angry German." I don't know why it's always Germans. "I'm just an angry German." Well, you just placed angry person as your identity, right? And you're not going to break out of your identity. You're not going to change the way you think and change the way you act and change your relationships as long as you keep making that your identity. Or, I guess I'm just forever a big guy, right? I'm just a big guy. We just made our identity something that we don't want to be. We're not going to change. We're not going to lose the weight. We're not going to be transformed as long as we keep making that our identity. And so the words you say after I am are vital. They're some of the most important words you will ever speak. And so a lot of times what we do is we attach our identities to our limitations, right? I'm just not good with money. Well, you just made that your identity. You just made your identity someone who's foolish with money, and you're never going to get out of that, right? Here's what we do. We attach our identities to our limitations. I'm just not good with relationships. I'm just an angry person. I just can't do it. I could never do something like that, right? We look at people who do something that we admire that maybe we wish we could do, but we just say, I could never do that. Well, we just attach our identity to a limitation. And here's the thing about limitations. If you fight for your limitations, you get to keep them. And if you've ever talked to somebody who is always identifying with their limitations, you know how frustrating that can be, right? You ever tried to help somebody with their money or help somebody with their health or help somebody in relationships, and what they do is they begin to identify with their limitations? I'm just not going to do it. This isn't going to happen. I'm just not that kind of a person. I'm just not this, or I'm just not that, right? And they're almost like they're fighting for their limitations. They want to hold on to their limitations, even though you're standing over there and going, you can totally do this. You can totally, listen, if you fight for your limitations, you get to keep them. So as long as you're going to, you know, fight for them and hold on to those limitations, you're not going to change. You're not going to experience transformation because you believe, because your thoughts, you let them go and you believe that you're never going to change. You're just going to hold on to the limitations. We've got to let our limitations go. So everybody tracking with me today? Is this too heavy for anybody? Do I need to kind of go back and talk about, you know, Jesus loves me, this I know? I just want to make sure. Okay, so stay with me because you don't want to fight for your limitations. You will never know a lasting transformation as long as your identity is attached to anything less than God's best. Right? Because, listen, if we know God's best, we begin to attach our identity to God's best for us, what God wants for us. That God wants life and life abundantly for us. That God's will for us is good and pleasing and perfect. This is what the Bible says, okay? And so we need to attach our identity to that, okay? The Bible says, I'm highly favored. Okay, well, I'll attach my identity to that. I'm favored, right? You know, the Bible says that I'm more than a conqueror, all right? So I'll attach my identity to that I'm more than a conqueror. You know, the Bible says that I'm in training for reigning, that one day there will come a time when the believers are in reigning, right, over the earth. Think about that. Okay, that's scriptural. And so if I say, well, I'm in training for reigning, you know, I'm more than a conqueror. And so we have to attach our identity to God's best for our lives, not our limitations, or we will not know lasting transformation, we'll know frustration. And can I just tell you, every day, there's going to come a time when every one of us in this room are dead. Just gone. We're not on the earth anymore. We're in heaven. We're in glory. We're there. But our opportunity to make a difference here is gone, is over. And so, you know, we're all getting older. And I don't know about you, but when I'm 90 or 150, wouldn't that be awesome? You know, when I'm 90, I want to be able to look back and say, I lived God's best for my life. I didn't hold on to my limitations. I didn't identify with my limitations. I lived out God's best. And you know what? I'm very happy with the way that I lived my life. And so I want that for you too. And so change the way you think about yourself and you'll change the way you behave. So instead of focusing on the behavior, focus on what God says about you. And hold on to that and let that be your identity, okay? Real lasting transformation comes when we change the way that we think. We've got to change the way that we think, okay? And so the next thing is this. Focus on the kingdom. Focus your mind on the kingdom. God wants kingdom-minded individuals. Everything else is going to perish, right? Everything else is, you know, isn't going to last. It's all going to perish. We've got to focus our minds on the kingdom. Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 and 2 says, since you have been raised to new life with Christ, set your sights on the realities of heaven, where Christ sits in the place of honor at God's right hand. Think about the things of heaven, not the things of earth. God wants us to be eternally minded. What does that mean? Like, you know, when our thoughts are centered on God's kingdom, things change. When our thoughts are centered around God's kingdom, things change. What happens? Our priorities shift. Our priorities shift, right? Instead of it being a priority to get up and listen to talk radio and have our coffee in the morning, we make it a priority to get up and spend a little time with Jesus. We get up and take a little time to transform our minds through letting God's word wash us, right? And our priority shift. Instead of, you know, going out to eat five nights a week and not really having any money, we start to go, you know what, I want more money for the kingdom. And we start to be generous. You know, being kingdom-minded, one of the surest signs of a kingdom-minded individual is just their generosity. Like, I don't mean this to sound offensive to anyone. So please, if it sounds offensive to you, just blow it off. But people who are not kingdom-minded are constantly saying how they can't afford it, right? And you know what? We live in a social media world. None of us is dumb here. You know what I mean? Like, I can't afford it, but I'm on another trip. I can't afford it, but I got a new phone. I can't afford it, but, you know, here's my meal at, you know, Johnny's. I can't afford it, but, you know, here's my daily $6 cup of caffeine from Starbucks. And so it's not so much that you can't afford it. It's just that you're just not kingdom-minded. You've not wrapped the priorities of your life around the kingdom of God. And you've not developed a trust. You've not said, well, if this is what the kingdom says, and this is what, you know, if this is what God says to do, I'm going to do it, and he's going to take care of me. Because why? Because he's crazy about me? Because he loves me? Because he has a great plan for my life? And so I have never known anybody to begin to practice generosity and then lose it all. Right? Never, ever, ever. You listen, I've been serving God since 1982, people. I'm old. And I have never, ever seen somebody go, I'm going to be more generous. I'm going to start giving. I'm going to start helping other people. And I've never seen them go, and then the next day I lost my job, and my car broke down, and I lost everything. That's never happened, to my knowledge. It's never happened. Because God cares about you, and he knows what's best for you, and he wants to call you and draw you to deeper levels of faith and kingdom-mindedness. Okay? Focus your mind on the kingdom. Our priority shift. When we focus our mind on the kingdom, we begin to encounter hope. We begin to encounter encouragement. We experience God's presence through worship, right? We experience God's presence through prayer and through scripture. And so some of us just need to take a break from the news, take a break from the doom and gloom. I watched the news the other day. I wanted to slip my wrist. Sometimes we just need to take a break from all that crap. You know, I just call it what it is. I mean, so we've got to take a break from the news, take a break from consuming so much entertainment, take a break from just all that stuff. And you know what we need to do? Just listen to some scripture. Just maybe listen to some worship music. Just listen to some good Bible teaching. And start to fill our minds with those things instead of filling our minds with all the stuff. Oh, my God. Can I just tell you, just for my own life, back in 2001, I remember when 9/11 happened. I was glued to that TV set. Like, every day. It's just like, and they're just replaying the planes hitting the Twin Towers over and over and over again. And I lived an hour away from New York City at the time. And so I thought, man, I was convinced. Well, you remember that time. You were there. I was convinced, man, one day I was going to look outside my backyard window and I was going to see terrorists running through there. And I listened to more and I consumed more and I grew further in fear more. And so I started going onto army surplus websites and I started buying stuff to help me just in case. And I started stocking up on potassium iodate just in case there was a nuclear attack. And I had gas masks in the garage. And I was just consuming, listen to this. And it was changing the way that I thought. And instead of walking in trust and walking in peace and walking and just knowing that God's best, that he loves me and he's got my back and he's taking care of me, I'm walking in fear. I still, to this day, I've got a garage full of army surplus crap I don't know what to do with. We've got to be careful what we consume, and we need to focus our mind on Scripture. I found this beautiful little app. If you've got an iPhone, I found this beautiful little app. It's called Dwell, D-W-E-L-L. And I downloaded it, and all it is it's Scripture set to music. It's just, and they have, like, different things. So, like, here's one that's all the Scriptures set to the promises of God. Here's another one. Here's all the Psalms. Here's another one. Where, you know, it's the miracles of Jesus. And you can even choose the reader, and you can kind of choose the music. And it's wonderful. I just sit back and listen to the Word of God and be encouraged and let it work on my thoughts and work on my mind. And I love it. And so it's so important that we take a break from all that stuff and we hear some encouraging music. We hear some good testimonies. We be encouraged by the things of heaven. Okay, everybody following me? It's hot in here. You guys are saying, no, it's not hot? I think it's hot. Kathy Lyle says it's hot, so it's hot. So, Ryan, is it hot in here? Wow, okay, it must be me then. If Ryan's not hot, then it's me. Yes. So the third thing is this. Think happy thoughts. Think happy thoughts. I know that sounds like super simplistic. But it's so important that we train our mind. One of my favorite scriptures, and you know I preach it all the time. If you've been here, probably once every 6 to 8 weeks, I'll bring up Philippians 4:8. And it says this. It says, now, dear brothers and sisters, one final thing. Fix your thoughts on what is true, what is honorable and right and pure and lovely and admirable. Think about things that are excellent and worthy of praise. Keep putting into practice all you learned and received from me, everything you heard from me and saw me doing. Then the God of peace will be with you, right? It doesn't say, keep abreast of the latest news and the God of peace will be with you. Scroll through your Facebook feed, make sure you're not missing out on anything, and then the God of peace will be with you. It doesn't. It says, fix your thoughts on what's pure and lovely and admirable. Think about things that are excellent and worthy of praise. Okay, then the God of peace will be with you. And man, peace is so important. Ask yourself, does scrolling through Facebook align with Philippians 4:8 right now? Does it? You ever open it up and go, is that Philippians 4? Oh, gosh. Sometimes I'll open it up. I don't know if you ever had this experience. You open up Facebook. Just, yeah, you maybe check if you've got any notifications. Anybody likes the latest picture of your whatever. And you just go, yeah, God. You know, you get maybe one thumb swipe up and you're already sick of it, right? Does the music that you listen to, does the podcast that you listen to, does the conversations that you're having right now at work with coworkers, does it align with Philippians 4:8? Does it? Okay? God designed our well-being to respond according to our thoughts. And then he reminded us to take our thoughts captive and fix them on what's true and honorable and right and pure and lovely and admirable. Right? And so think happy thoughts. I'll throw this in there for free because I say it all the time. Practice gratitude, practice gratitude, practice gratitude. Okay? And so the last thing is this. Lather, rinse, repeat. As needed, right? Lather, rinse, repeat. Transforming our thoughts, it's daily. It's a daily discipline. And the thing about our thoughts is they don't drift towards what's good and excellent and noble and praiseworthy. Our thoughts drift towards... when we just sort of let them go, they drift towards the negative things, right? They drift towards the fear. They drift towards, you know, insecurity. And so we have to discipline our thoughts daily. It's a daily discipline. And so what can you do to remind yourself of your identity in Jesus, right? What can you do? What sort of things in your life, what sort of ways can you remind yourself? I know for me, I use the Reminders app, right? Talk about remind yourself. Literally, I've got reminders that go off twice a day. Four times a day. Just during different times of the day. And they just say things like, your kids have an amazing future. Right? They say things like, God is especially fond of you. Right? They just say things like that. And they just go off, and I read them out loud. And so what can you do to remind yourself of your identity in Jesus? Put up a sign somewhere. Put up a note on your medicine cabinet. Do something to remind yourself and be intentional about this. Because if you don't, here's what's going to happen. You're going to leave today, and you go, that was a good message, and nothing will change, and you will continue to struggle with all the things you're struggling with. You're not going to experience transformation. And so what can you do to remind yourself? How can you recenter your mind on the kingdom regularly? How can you do that? You know, one of the things that helps me do that, and I'm not here like trying to hammer at giving, but our tithing helps me to keep centered around the kingdom. Because I see it come out, I have it happen automatically, and I get a little email receipt, and I go, kingdom, right? And then just being in the word and helping other people, generosity and just acts of service helps to keep your mind centered on the kingdom. But what can you do to recenter your mind on the kingdom regularly? What action can you take every day or almost daily that will help you think about the things that are excellent and worthy of praise? This is a discipline that I'm talking about. So I'm not going to have people like stand up. I'm not going to lay hands on anybody and go, now your mind is transformed. Because that's just not the way God created us. He created us to make this a daily discipline, okay? Change in the way that we think, it happens through repetition, right? So, you know, a lot of you guys who maybe you've been at your job for a couple years and now you really hate it, but when you first started, you loved it. And one of the reasons why your thoughts about your job have changed is because you gave in to the water cooler talk. And when the other people were standing around you complaining about the boss, you kind of went, whatever. And you notice that was kind of the culture of the place that you worked, and after you've been there a while, you entered into the talk, and now you can't, for the life of you, can't think of one positive thing about your job, right? Because you changed the way that you thought about it through repetition. It was daily, or almost daily. And so repetition changes our thought patterns in the way that we think. And that's why things like pornography are so dangerous. Because when you repeat that every day, every day, every day, every day, you create neural pathways in your brain that cause you then to crave it. And so transformation in our thoughts happens through repetition. So how can you repetitively, you know, appreciate, how can you repetitively think about what's noble and praiseworthy and excellent? How can you do that on a daily basis and through repetition? It's so important to remember that this happens on a daily basis. And so we're going to wrap up today. But as we do, I just want to really challenge you. My challenge to you is to foster a daily habit of aligning your thoughts with God's truth. Just foster it. You know, if it's a 30-second habit, if it's, you know, a 1 minute, whatever it is, that you can foster a daily habit of aligning your thoughts with God's truth. And so if the worship team wants to come, and we will wrap up. But here's what I did. I actually left some space for you on the back of your bulletin. And so there's a couple of questions. It's just a way that you can write down some ideas. And then, you know, how can you remind yourself of what God's word says about you? How can you remind yourself about that? How can you stay kingdom-minded? And how can you keep your thoughts aligned with Philippians 4:8? And so if during this last song, if you want to stand and worship, that's great. If you don't, if you want to sit and maybe kind of ponder over those questions and write down your answers, you can do that as well. But I especially want to challenge you that if you need prayer today, for any reason at all, if you need prayer, go back and see Kathy or Gary. Get prayer. We have a prayer team that just want to pray for you. Okay, so maybe you're like, hey, I get this. I want to write these things down, but I would love a little extra prayer. Go see them, and they would love to pray for you for any reason. Listen, going back to get prayer is not a walk of shame. It is not a walk of shame. It's an opportunity for your family to love you and call down the power of God on your behalf. All right? So if you need prayer for any reason this morning, go back and get prayer, and they would love to serve you and love you. All right? Sound good? So stand if you want to stand, or sit.